This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, you have to take out your key anyway.
Yeah, but a key is for a door.
Yeah.
A phone is for your home. And a wallet is for the mall. Shit.
None of that rhymed. You didn't have to force it.
Wallet, mall, shit.
Yeah, that one did because you made it rhyme, but the
phone,
first two.
Home, kinda. Okay.
And then a key is for a door.
I just can't believe what I heard last show. The key's for the door and the phone is for home. Don't tell me the pinch is out of time. He's falling to pieces trying to rhyme. And he took home his first hurdy. Cause he had a bad show, he made us all frown. Tried his dang best, couldn't turn it around. Wallet and shit, they didn't quite fit. And tried to justify, but he couldn't survive. He had a bad show, the chipmunk don't lie. He laughed while we cried and tried to claim the gold mic. You had a bad show. And if I were you.
Yo, Jake may have gotten that turdy, but you better believe he walked away with that GM, that very same app. Hey, long live the streak, Jake. Stay humble.
Wonder, so now the golden mic is quasi up for grabs.
Quasi. And we'll see, but try not to get too grubby.
Wow.
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 That was powerful. That was like the first, it moved me to hear that.
It's cool. And it was cool to have it there. I won the golden mic this episode for the theme song. How fucked up is that? Oh my God. Oh my God. Have you ever seen that happen? Oh my God. Dude, have you ever seen that happen before? Where I won the golden mic based on the song? Because I put that in motion. When I made that failed rhyme, I wonder if I knew at the time that it would result in a theme song of this caliber.
No way.
Ah, this is crazy. Oh my God.
Don't say, oh my God, nuts. Like you're discovering something. You just,
what just
thought,
happened?
Not really.
What just even happened just now?
I don't know. You're
I did
creating
create
it. You tell
right.
me what happened.
You're right. I think I agree with that. I created that theme song by my failed rhyme in that episode when I took home that turdy. It was actually a seed that grew into a golden mic tree, and I just picked one off during the theme song. That was like a collab. It was an alley-oop between me and who was that? Oh, my God.
Matt.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I just can't even.
Mark Wahlberg.
Holy shit, dude. Wow.
A golden mic? For me?
What did I do?
Not you. Not you and not you.
Why do I deserve this, huh?
That was a cover of Bad Day by Daniel Powder. Remember Daniel Powder?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Actually, this guy, an Australian, so he says, for any Melbourne-based listeners, check out Brunswick Burn on Instagram. It's a chili oil company that I found. It's chili.
It's pretty chill
really
oil.
Chill oil.
It's like BP, but a little more fucking
chili.
Interesting, yeah.
He found it with his girlfriend, and it's vegan, gluten-free, and delicious. So shout out to Brunswick Burn. Also, if there's time, shout out and then somebody else. Do you think there's time or should we just move on?
There's a little time. There's a little time. Why don't we do it? Because the song actually did own at the end of the day, thanks to me and Danny P.
You mean the original songwriter of the song and you?
I'm actually the original songwriter of the song. Did I not coin the phrase wallet and wall shit? Mall shit, excuse me.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I just won. Holy crap.
We need that HeadGum podcast sound effect.
Wow. Wow.
Shout out to my bro, Benny K, who introduced me to you guys 5 years back. Love, Matt.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool because you're constantly thinking about moving to Australia. So this guy would be like a cool sort of entrepreneur slash artist slash sort of Lothario because he has a girlfriend to like link up with and then sort of have as a home base when we first get there.
That's awesome. Yeah. I have been threatening a move to my motherland, which is Australia, I think.
And we need like sort of like we land, we need someone to like pick us up to like get our bearings.
Where does he say he lives is the thing?
He's Melbourne.
Melbourne? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I think if we follow the chili oil company on Insta, we'd become like part owners or something and like equity in that company. And then we sort of turn that into like sort of that could be our new life.
If we, you said follow it on Instagram, we'll become part owners.
Well, we would follow and then we would eventually...
Like, we would promote, takeover, do an Instagram takeover, but then actually an actual hostile takeover, a bear hug of the chili oil company and turn it into a chill oil company. And then we fucking have an oil spill off the Golden Coast. How's that?
Chili oil spill. That's actually really good marketing. A BP chili oil spill.
Oh, that's good. That's
and we get
marketing.
Someone underground to like
we dump
what's it called
60,000 tons of chili into Byron Bay.
Yes, and so all the dolphins and sharks come out with like cool like siesta and fiesta style like garb, and it's like they turn into like this fun sort of Baja California house party.
I start shaking some maracas and that's good. That's really good.
That's actually really, really good. And I'm going to cut that part out of the podcast DM Brunswick Burn about it.
Yeah, definitely. Cut it out and give that a shot. I'd love to see that.
Okay, let's start the show for Christ's sakes. You already won the golden mic, so let's see how you earn it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's starting to weigh on me, the amount of turdies that I've gotten.
Really? Well, you haven't even gotten a turdie this episode. You can't just be happy for me that I got the golden mic during the song.
Wow.
This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the wad, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jod.
That'd be awesome. Jod? Fucking Amir Jod? That could be your Australian name, because like a lot of people in Australia have like weird ass names.
How do you do, mate? Really I'm hear. Jod. I'm Jod, mate. Jod.
Can't you like imagine that? Like it's like a fine thing to spell and see, but like you've never heard that as a name. That's like what
Jod,
I envision.
Jod,
yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, my name's mate. Jod.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like my old buddy Gid or something like that. Yeah.
Jod. Yeah. Jod, mate.
So J-A-U-D-E. All right, we got some real questions from real people. We need some fake Australian names to preserve their anonymity.
Yes, yes, please. Chris, actually, you know what? Fucking, let's call yet again another person on this podcast, Patrick Rafter.
A classic.
Yeah.
Jod Rafter writes, is it reasonable to love plants the way one might love a dog? She keeps dropping hints that she can't get rid of any of them because she loves them like I love my dog. I don't want to hurt her feelings, and I'm not sure when enough is enough. She wants to go to the plant nursery again to look for more. Is it fair to compare her plants to my pup? If so, what do we do about the furniture? If not, how do I tell her it's not the same thing as having a pet? Many thanks. Love, Jod P. raft.
It's interesting writing on that. He just said he didn't introduce us to anybody, but I'm assuming he dropped a paragraph or something, copy and paste error.
Yeah, maybe there was a picture of a lot of plants in a home or something like that.
So his significant other is saying that
I got to have more plants. And then he's like, enough is enough. And she's like, it's the same thing. You love your dog. I love my plants. Well, they're actually living, breathing things.
So it's, yeah, but it's not the same because she has to have many plants to fill the void. And he only has to have one dog. So in theory, there should just be one plant that takes the place. Do many plants amass to one dog? Maybe so, because it's something that you nurture and care for and think about.
Yeah.
So like
it's definitely
a collection, but I think individually it doesn't match the dog.
Yeah. I think plants first in order of responsibility / love and care. Like you still got to care for a plant, and it's sad when a plant dies. And I know because I've killed many of plants. Mm-hmm. Then above that is dog.
Yeah.
You'd be sadder if your dog is sick than a plant is sick.
Right.
Still bummed, but more bummed because it's a living, breathing, you know, you play, you interact with this dog.
Yeah. The and dog then, has eyes. It can look at you and you see pain and fear.
Yeah, yeah. And then probably above that is kid, though I haven't had one yet. Maybe the kid is in between plant and dog. I don't really know how baby factors into the equation. That,
yeah.
So it's like those are like three equally distant things. Plant is a one. Dog is a 50 and kid is a, what, I don't know, 72 or some shit.
Right. Out of 100?
Yeah, and cactus is somewhere there too.
It's 72, yeah.
Yeah, a succulent.
I mean, it is interesting because it feels like these are just two separate thoughts that two different people will have. There's not really a way that you can get her to agree with you, but I don't think she has to, unless you like really need her to stop buying these plants.
Yeah. And then it's weird to tell her, because some people are plant lovers. They're like, Avital's kind of like this. She's like, the more plants, the better. There's no amount. Like, she would love to come home, and it's like fucking Fern Gully, plants everywhere.
And do you temper that? Are you like, let's not add any more plants? We have enough plants?
No, I mean, we haven't gone to the point where I have to like push back, but I also wouldn't mind a lot of plants. I like the way, you know, nurseries smell and look. It's nice. Better than stark white, which is how I would decorate a house.
Yeah. But do you have to, I guess like the question is like, as long as you're not the one caring for the plants, it shouldn't matter that much. I like plants around. I don't like dying smelly plants with fucking gnat infestations. So I can imagine not being into that. If somebody's like, I want plants, but they're not taking care of plants. Because I've had plants that like suddenly get like bugs on them, or they just start wilting and you try to water them and they just smell weird. So, you know. I can picture not wanting to live in a place like that. But then also dogs kind of smell bad. Dogs can smell pretty bad. They smell pretty bad too.
you gotta watch the dog. You gotta wash your plants. You gotta dust your plants. You gotta water them, feed them. Everyone's got a different schedule.
Everything's a responsibility and never fucking ends.
Yeah. And then eventually you'll be gone. So I guess
and then everything
learn
is someone
how
else's
to take care of shit.
Responsibility, yeah.
That's right. Can this guy say enough is enough? Or maybe you don't want to say my dog is different. Then it sort of like puts this weird competition / animosity between you
right.
two.
Right. You're starting from a weird place, which is I like my dog more than you like your plants. That's not what the argument is actually about. The argument is actually I think we have too many plants. So take the dog out. You can just be like, cool, I know you love plants and I love my dog. Aside from that, I think there's too many plants in the house. So the argument is about how many plants can fit in the house, not how much she loves plants and how much you love your dogs and what a relationship between those things is.
Yeah. I mean, is there a maximum? Is there an amount of plants where you would say no more?
I think every room should have 1 to 2.
Yeah.
1 to 2 but, in a corner, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean,
but like if you had like fucking vines and shit and flowers.
I would not like that.
Wall fucking things with planters in the wall and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I like a pop of green. I like a plant in the corner. I like a plant on the shelf, the viney things on the shelf, but maybe just one, you know? I'm trying to think of my living room. We have two plants in. I could live with a third, maybe a tree. That'd be nice.
A tree?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got tall ceilings. I live in New York City, you know?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. These old houses in New York had a lot of, like, nice tall ceilings, yeah.
Back when people were just like 8'4" by accident. Like, come see the world's tallest freak. He lives in this building, and he had to have like super tall ceilings.
Exactly, exactly. But when the houses were built, they had nice big windows and tall ceilings. I don't even know why, actually, because it was more heat efficient to have the smaller rooms.
Well, you know what they say, houses in New York have so much unnecessary space. You get so much space for your buck. So like, it's probably all part of the amount of space that's just overflowing and abundant with regards to homes and apartments in New York City.
Well, that's, they've made it New York a lot smaller. They sectioned it off.
And that's what we're here to talk to you guys about. Yeah. We're hoping to make New York bigger. It's kind of a passion project.
Knock down your walls, folks.
I want Manhattan to be two. I want it to be double. I just like figure out a way to just, I don't know. Imagine living off 17th Ave in 130,000 Street. Wow. Let's widen it. Let's widen the berth. Let's it lengthen.
It could go into New Jersey. Frankly, it could. Yes. And it could go up to Westchester. If we needed it too, that could all be Manhattan.
Yes, I want to re-Pangea New York, sort of shove things together like a puzzle piece.
I don't hate that.
And actually, make it bigger. It's an anti-river philosophy.
Oh, yeah, we don't even have to shove it together. We just have to fill in the rivers.
Interesting. What about getting Phil Rivers to sort of hop on board this campaign? I feel like,
Phil Rivers fills in the rivers?
Yeah, and it's just him sort of doing like the first, it's like sort of a ceremonial thing, like the groundbreaking, but the river filling.
That's cool.
So he's like tossing in the first, I don't know, what would it be, mud into the river to start filling
like a shovel full of dirt or a stone.
Yeah. How much would you need?
To use trash. I think you would just have to have like a floating landmass of like plastic, dog shit, bags, garbage, styrofoam, cups, whatever, debris. But that would be 17th Ave.
I think we're describing a pilot of an animated show where like a series of crazy entrepreneurs do insane things like fill the river up with garbage, and we could do that because it's animated. And then people start living on the street, and then I don't know what goes bad in act two, the garbage starts coming up and infiltrating the houses or some shit like
that. I do like an animated show where you and I play two competing egocentric billionaires. Imagine I play an Elon Musk, you play a Jeff Bezos.
Oh, that's we're cool.
Each trying to one up each other by, like, you know, we go into space, we're building an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
That's good.
Yeah. We want to like colonize Mars.
The goal of the show is that we're both fighting to become the first trillionaire. So it's called First Trillionaires.
Oh, that's good.
Me versus you. You could be, Bezos and Musk are probably the closest comps, but we'd have to differentiate the two. It can't be two of the same characters.
Right. It would have to be like a Sir Richard Branson and a Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. One who's like going into space and the other one's just chilling with yachts. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, there's also like the Barry Diller type, where like the old media tycoon.
Right. Yeah. Tycoon. And I feel like Sir Richard Branson is more of a like fun loving, wacky. He's like the Hansel in Zoolander type. You know, like, I'll spend my money and I'll go to Nepal. And then I feel like you would be more of a Musk, kind of like the genius, like you an inventor or something.
Who has a borderline personality disorder, so I don't really have any friends, and I name my kid a series of weird characters.
That's good.
So you would be the Richard Branson one? Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah. Just because the blonde and the brunette of it all. It feels right.
That's the only way to differentiate it.
Yeah.
All right, let's discuss A story and B stories during this break so we can really beat out this pilot. And then we come back, we'll continue the podcast after these messages.
Blow out the cast as well.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little than fire.
I don't. You do.
Yeah, I mean, in general, just go get your booster. You know, the vaccine, the efficacy weighs after 6 to 8 months. We're all in that zone now.
Right. Okay, I'll second your advice.
We all got it.
I haven't
got it. We all got it last spring.
Yeah. I haven't gotten my booster yet, but I should do that.
Yeah. And the booster wildly varies in terms of side effects. Some people don't feel anything. Some people are shaking and sweating in bed, and that was me for about a day. And look at me now; I feel fine.
Wow! Did you have the reaction from the vaccine?
I did. I had a sort of a similar, but not as intense. Yeah, I was like more tired from the second one, and like kind of stiff and sore at night. But this time I like woke up and I was like, I'm so hot, I'm so sweaty, I need to like, then I got really cold and I went to a bath. I sent Avital a series of photos of me sort of struggling, so we have this photo collage. Here's a fun one of me with a moist, I'll send it to you, a moist washcloth on my head. This is what I looked like at 6 p.m. the following day.
I cannot wait to see this.
A good ad for vaccinations. Not to scare anyone from getting it, of course.
Right. No, it's a rite of passage. I mean, it's fun because you get to either talk about how sick it made you or talk about how you didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
It's like people love this shit.
And it is fun to feel ill because you know where it's coming from. It didn't surprise you and it always does go away. And you're like, oh, I feel much better now. It's kind of like the end of a hangover.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that moment when the hangover fades.
Yeah. So you wake up sort of in a pool of sweat and this is what I'm sending you the photo. It looks like I'm wearing a wig or something, but this is just a
second. Oh my God. This looks like a squirrel on your face.
I'm red and happy. And she asked me how I was doing.
You're blushed.
Sir, you're burning. You're absolutely burning.
I can see the sweat on your neck. It looks like you just came out of a sauna.
Instead, I just came out of a nap. Oh, and there's a thermometer in my ass.
Jesus Christ, man. You sure? Yeah. You're sure people should get boosted?
I think so, because I think if I got corona, I think if I got COVID, I would feel like that for 2 to 4 weeks. Right. So it's nice that it condensed it into one 24-hour sesh that will prevent it from ever happening again. Hopefully. Hopefully.
My good Lord.
But yeah, let's all do our part, people. And yes, I'm still going to be wearing masks in a crowded indoor environment. It's just the right thing to do.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I went to a show last week and I wore a mask.
Is that good? Was it fine? Was it not ideal, but kind of nice? Was it dystopian in a non-fancy way?
It's, yeah, all of the above. It's like, you got it. But it sucks, but it's fine because it's necessary and it's not that bad. But you do kind of miss the old days.
I threw away all my masks and I had to get them all again.
I had to replenish masks. I was letting them run out around the time that, like over the summer when everything was opening back up. And now it's just.
I'm starting to see ads for mask accoutrement. So, like, there's a bunch of ads during basketball games for something called the Cool Turtle, I think, where it's this plastic thing that you put under your mask so that your mask isn't, like, too close to your lips. So, like, it's almost creating, like, this air cage in between your face and the mask.
That's interesting. I wonder if I would like that.
Yeah. It seems like another annoying thing to add, but maybe it makes the mask wearing. Like, if you're going to wear it for, like, a flight, maybe it really does work.
Yeah. Wearing the mask through the grocery store or whatever is never bad, but I feel for the people that have to wear them all day. It's not fun.
I like putting it on, like entering a bank in a grocery store, because I get to sort of feel like a robber for a second.
Yeah, that's so nice.
It's like I put on the mask and I walk in there and I don't really steal anything.
You put
anything.
On the mask and you run in there, right?
Yeah. Where do you guys keep your navel oranges? I'm in the market for a tangerine. Sort of huffing and puffing. I'm also wearing a ski mask just to double up my efficacy.
That's right. Because you want to cover your hair as well.
Okay. Let's see here. Next question, next thought, next thing to do now.
Let's go.
We got a question about, this one's funny. It's a fairly simple one, writes Jim from Australia.
Got it.
This is a fairly simple one. I can't figure out how to get it over. My partner of 6 years gulps like crazy when drinking any liquid. Most everything else is fine. Bar some small arguments about housework, but the way it sounds when they drink water makes me want to scream. Apparently, some people just swallow more air when they drink, and it makes more noise. And you'd have to train your muscle to drink differently to change it. The thing is, how do I go to my partner and tell them, the way you drink makes me feel sick. Please put a concerted effort into changing the way you've swallowed your whole life. Please help me either get over this or find a way to tell them that I cannot deal with the gulping.
I feel like you could tell someone that they drink bad. That's not like, I don't think anybody like holds a sensitivity about how they sip. I feel like if anything, you're just not really thinking about it. It's like, if someone told me that I slurp too much, I wouldn't be like, that's just how I drink.
Yeah. Well, it would be for us like the food equivalent of like making a lot of noise when we eat.
Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable if Jill said, can you stop making noises or chew differently?
Yeah, totally. And she tells me, she doesn't ever, I don't eat very loudly, but I eat very fast. And she'll often tell me to not eat so fast or to slow down or to not be so messy. Because I'll try to eat normal, then I sometimes start to eat really, really fast. And then it starts
kind of- You get lost in the sauce.
And then it starts making a mess. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to like wipe my hands and my mouth between bites now because I'm going to be done soon. So I just have to power through.
Yeah.
So I just look like-
The inertia is going.
I look like a baby. I'm just like, there's just food dripping down my hand to my forearm. It's all over my face. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to put the sandwich. If I put the sandwich down, it falls apart and I just make the napkin messy. I should just finish the sandwich and take a shower, right?
So you're yelling in front of her parents.
This was not Thanksgiving.
Don't tell me that I should eat slower. If anything, I should eat faster and go take a shower, right? Yeah. Does she do that when it's just you two, or it's like more of a in public situation?
No, when it's just us two.
Got it.
Yeah. When we're in public, she'll mention it, but like almost as a joke, like, oh my God. She'll make fun of me. Yeah.
Yeah. She'll sort of hit the other person's elbow and said, can you believe this guy, this fucking freak? Look how he eats.
He's disgusting. Like, do you believe I live with this?
Do you make a more concerted effort to eat better when you're around others?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. But like, it depends who it is. Like if I think I went out to dinner with you and I didn't really, I think in public I kind of do if I'm at a restaurant. In the comfort of my own home, no.
You won't take it easy.
No. No, I will not.
Yeah. Nor should I, because I've earned this house. I've earned this home.
What about you?
I can eat anyway, please.
You're
I'll
a
do a fork
eater.
And a knife. I'll really? Do a napkin no. tucked into no, my not. Shirt, and
you
I will eat slowly. 27
you eat hunched over the sink
per bite. You know I don't have a clean bite.
No. You don't have a clean bite. I think that's really what it comes down to, is that my teeth are a little too dull. So I can't really bite through things. I need to like suck. Everything is a noodle to me.
You know that everything's a noodle to me, it's like, including noodles.
Yeah, you slurp a pasta noodle to like, you know, clean it up. That's what I do with every food. Is it just becomes a slurpy noodle that needs all of it needs to go in my mouth, otherwise it will spill out.
Yeah. And in addition to that, I have a problem with I don't like putting my lips affixing it on a spoon. So what I'll do is sort of pour or use my teeth to get the liquid or you know, semi-liquid, an oatmeal.
you don't like putting your lips on a spoon?
Let's say you like let's say you have a soup, okay, or an oatmeal. Are you sucking the oatmeal off the spoon with your lips, or are you using your teeth to just sort of grind it off? I guess, my teeth most of all.
I guess I use teeth, but if I'm trying to get everything off, I flip the spoon and I'll use tongue. Are you comfortable with tongue on the spoon, or do you only want to use teeth?
I actually don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Really?
And that's the first time I've ever said that on this show. So I think you should respect it.
Yeah, I will. I will. I
don't mind tonguing a spoon. I will not affix my lips to the contour of the metal.
Wait, so you said
frame.
You said you were so offended by the question that you weren't going to answer it. It's the first time that's ever happened. I needed to respect it. Then you answered it. You said you're fine with the tongue on the spoon?
Tongue is fine, yes, but like even dating back to cereal, I would never close my lips around a spoon and push the cereal off. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I'm sort of a scared, skittish coward of a man. I'm also a mouth breather, quite frankly.
Yeah, you are a mouth breather.
And you know what? My buddy Sean was telling me that he went to see a doctor recently, and they were like, "Oh, your nasal passages. I forget what it's called." Sinus cavities, or what's it called when you get a nose job?
Deviated septum.
Oh yeah, septum. Your septum was like his septum was like misaligned or something, or like wasn't letting air in.
Oh yeah.
And so there's procedures you can do that's like almost like a nose job, but they don't change the shape of your nose. They change the shape of your canals. And I'm curious to go see a nasal doctor to see like if you'd be like, no, that's just what most noses are. You should be able to breathe through your nose. Or they'd be like, oh my God, they're so close. Yeah. How have you survived? You're a hero. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
The doctor we must widen these passages.
This is amazing. You're a marvel.
Yeah, I'm curious to go and see if my septum is like wide or normal or what. But I'm also afraid that like these doctors will just tell me that they can always be wide and look better and you can become a nose breather with this procedure that I'd have to pay for.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm a mouth breather, but I can breathe through my nose.
You breathe through your nose, is it full? Yeah. For me, it's like, it's pretty like, it's getting compressed and like, I'm not getting a full dose of oxygen.
Oh, that's odd. Yeah. I mean, I can take a look at your septum next time I'm in LA if you want. I don't know if I...
Hold it up to the Zoom. Yeah. I don't know if you can see.
No, yeah. That's... It's hard.
I'm clicking my tongue because like... This is a It's like creating just, this weird reflex.
It's so funny. It's just... You're making a silly face at me on Zoom. No one can see this. He's holding up his nose like a little piggy and flicking his tongue out.
And it's funny.
It is funny. We should make this a video podcast, man. Just for that shit.
We'll add it to the first trillionaires spec script we're writing.
That's a good idea.
The question. Partner that they gulp loudly, perhaps. Or you can set up a situation where a friend is over and they're like, whoa, you gulp weird. And then you could be like, I've never thought that, but I guess you do maybe a little bit. If you want help, I can help you. But like, I would never mention it. Right. Greg, how dare you bring it up? I think it's really rude.
That should be the attitude. Your friend brings it up and then you actually act really offended. And you're like, I love their loud little gurgly gulps. Don't change a thing. I love when you suck it down like a hog.
Yes, and when you slurp your cereal, your soup, your pasta, your spaghetti, it's all good because it's all thin, nose cavity or otherwise.
I think you can say something. You can always say something, especially if you've been with someone for 7 years. You can say whatever you want.
All right, cool. Enjoy. Let's take another break. Thanks to more peoples, and we'll be back with more questions after these messages.
Rah.
Wow!
Wow! Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah,
it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we're back.
Yes.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my kitchen pal. We should say your kitchen is getting renovated above you. So if you hear some banging, it's not something nefarious happening in the background.
Right. No, there's just some people. I feel like they're hanging cabinets in my parents' kitchen right now.
So. And you feel bad because like they're doing a real job. You can't be like, hey guys, can you knock it off? I'm actually recording a podcast downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just give me 48? And then you walk downstairs and then they hear you go, you're making silly faces at me. Yeah. You're so funny. He's flicking his tongue at me.
You really don't want to ever say to somebody covered in sawdust wearing knee pads with a tool belt that I have to go do a podcast downstairs. I actually won the golden mic with this song this episode. Oh my God.
They love it. Oh my God, I love that show. I love the episode.
Is Amir going to get a turdy?
Holy shit. I didn't know any cool workers listened to our pod. That's really tight.
Yeah.
It could be worse. You could be telling them not to make any noise because you have to record your Dungeons & Dragons live stream.
Right.
You're painting a figurine.
Yeah. I'm a painter as well.
Dean, have you ever seen something this small to paint?
I have a magnifying glass for this one.
Do you still do that?
Oh yeah, once a month I hop on the live stream and I paint a mini for the D&D Patreon.
A mini?
I paint a mini every month. It's funny because I always thought, like when I started painting mini, I was like, oh, I'll do this, you know, I'll do this and I'll get better at it. But instead, it's like doing it once a month is just enough time between that you never get good. If I did it every week, I think I'd get better. You never get there. And all the paints, all they do is just dry up a lot. So it's most of the stream is just me trying to open a dry paint.
It seems like hard to do something like my hands would shake when I'm trying to be like that precise.
Yeah, no, it is. It is hard. It's
it's like being a surgeon. You need like a certain set of like relaxed nerves.
Yeah, and you have brushes that are very, very thin. You're getting like the tiniest little drip of silver paint and like painting a sword. I mean, the hardest is like I'm like trying to paint people's belt buckles and shit.
Do you literally use like a hair? Does it have to be that thin?
Yeah, it's like it's probably there are such fine brushes. It's more than a hair, but it's like, you know, just a couple bristles. So
wow, thin. God, I would kill to be that thin.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably really thin.
I know. Just all this fucking pandemic weight. I wish I was just like four hairs thin.
you would be dead. And maybe you should be for thinking like that.
All right. One last question to rule them all.
All right.
This one's actually about a cool person. So we have to give him a cool name.
Cool. All right.
Why don't we give him the coolest name of all?
Patrick Rafter.
I was going to say Jack Logan, but that one works too.
Jack Logan is cool.
I'm a 25-year-old actor/bar manager in New York, so I'm usually never home during the day, and I get home very late, between 3 and 6 a.m.
Cool.
See? Yeah. He is cool.
Super cool.
Here's my problem. One of my roommates wakes up very early for work and is a light sleeper. This is something we've discussed before we moved in together, so I didn't think it would be an issue, and it hasn't been for a while. I also started seeing someone over the summer, and she'll usually wait up at the bar with me until it closes so she can come over after. We're not loud, and she usually ends up falling asleep, and she doesn't stay for the day or take up space, but this one roommate cannot stand it and started yelling, "Go home," and slamming the door whenever she's over, regardless of the time of day. This roommate has been my best friend for a few years now, so I feel like this whole situation is tearing us apart, and I don't know how to remedy this. I'm really not loud when I'm home, so it's hard for me to see what the issue even is. Thanks. Yours, Jack Logan.
Yeah, the issue is not, it's not you or the girlfriend. Your roommate is going through something. That's not normal behavior.
And I bet the roommate wanted to like have a summer and or year with his boy. And then like, this is him acting out like a 7-year-old or a dog. When you get, he gets introduced to a foreign person, he feels threatened, sad, and scared.
Yeah.
And so instead of internalizing it and being mature, he'll do things like yell, "Go home," and slam the door when she's over.
I would, Matt, like, if that were the attitude, I feel like at the very worst, you should, like, if that's how you feel, which I don't agree with, you shouldn't feel like that. But if that is how you feel, all you can do is be passive aggressive. Like, "Oh, hey, Cindy, good to see you again. I see you all the time." that's max. You know, like,
yeah,
yelling "go home" and slamming the door is, I mean, it's that's borderline psychotic behavior. I think that like that warrants a check-in. That's like, is everything okay? Girlfriend aside, work aside, like, you screamed and slammed the door. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Just go home.
I thought we were going to play Mario Kart this weekend. I really don't think it could possibly be about that. I feel like there's something else. There's something deeper going on.
The fun part is when you confront people like that, they usually get pretty scared because like their comfort zone is yelling "go home" and slamming the door. So like when you open their door and talk to them about it.
Oh no.
I was just being coy. I didn't really mean it like that. It's all. Yeah, have a conversation. And I think he's feeling like that because he's threatened. Poor roommate. I would also want to bring him in here. And like, what would his question be? Like, "Hey, my roommate keeps bringing this chick over. And like, at a certain point, I think I'm going to yell, 'Go home.'" Should I fucking yell "go home" and slam the door? I think I already did it.
My roommate is a bartender. He gets home at 4 a.m. and he brings his girlfriend and they bang around and they keep me up. I don't know what to do and I'm just going to have an outburst. That's like kind of what it is. And I think we would advise this person to not have an outburst because that's never good.
Do not have an outburst. All right. Whoa.
Whoa.
Kind of breaking news on Twitter. I'm sorry that I'm even seeing this now. I just feel like I should get your take.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I'm reading the Daily Mail Celebrity, which is like the UK mag rag. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson's romance is officially on. The new couple was caught holding hands as a mom of four rebounds from Kanye West with SNL Lothario, known for his naughty reputation.
What hell?
I guess they were caught canoodling / hand-holding in Palm Springs this weekend.
In Palm Springs, of all places. You know that she used to have a place there with Kanye.
So they're like probably getting breakfast together. And it's funny because...
Does it say Pete Davidson got? Was it a breakfast burrito? Or I bet he got a lumberjack breakfast. Pancakes, waffles, toast. Very carb heavy, but hey, he could afford it. He's fucking Kim Kardashian West.
They just went to a art gallery. They don't really eat together.
Like, yeah, beans or like breakfast burrito. You would have like
no, he didn't have any breakfast. Actually,
maybe she got a smoothie
and watch a movie. Pete Davidson is so cool, he dresses like I did in 2007, but today.
Yeah.
So it's like, before these clothes have become cool again, Pete Davidson's like, "I'll wear really baggy brown Argyle shorts," literally the kind I wore in 2007, with orange New Balances. He's cosplaying as me.
So funny what he is wearing and doing and is. I love it so much.
They love it. They can't get enough. Even Kim loves it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, he's so happy, as you would be if you were a comedian a few years ago and now dating the most famous person in the world.
I wonder if this is all just like a PR nightmare bullshit, like the kind of shit that like that, because like they love it when they get talked. Like, I should be caught canoodling with someone and see if I can get like the paparazzo on my ass screaming, "We want prenup. Next time I'm in the church, please no photos."
Go home.
Paparazzi throwing a rock at my head so that they could talk to somebody more famous. Sorry, I was called and told that Stephen Baldwin would be here. Yeah, well, now I'm here at a Denny's by myself. I think
getting
I was
a lumberjack.
By Cher, she fucking stood me up. Where are you going?
Can you believe she stood me up?
stood me up. Doing karaoke in a parking lot. Nobody paying attention to me. That's how the episode ends.
Of billionaire or first trillionaires.
Yeah. Because I'm sad that nobody's paying attention to me anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Thus ends another classic edition of If I Were You. Thanks to everybody that's emailed in. Thanks to everybody that submitted a theme song. The opening one was an instant classic, correct. The Bad Day parody.
Loved it so much.
I forget his name. Let me search again. Bad Day. Written
it was
by
Matt Powder, Matt Powder, Manuel.
Yeah, Matt Daniel Powder was the OG. Matt Kazakos was the new spin on it.
Oh wait, so Daniel Powder? That's just who wrote the original song.
Yes, that's who wrote and performed the original "Bad Day."
I 100% thought Daniel Powder wrote our theme song. This week.
Not a good sign for Daniel Powder.
Wow, good for him, Daniel Powder. 50 years old.
Good man. And this closing theme song is, oh yeah, this closing one is a Schmuel's Rules themed song.
Great.
But it's a progressive psych metal band. Their Instagram is King Turtle Rock.
Nice.
Not my cup of tea, but you know what? We have to sort of run the gamut here. Maybe there's a progressive psych metal band enthusiast that's like, you guys never play that style of music on the show, so here you go.
It's true.
At King Turtle Rock, and they, I guess the band King Turtle from Denton, Texas has a SoundCloud, so check that out.
Right on.
So thank you, King Turtle, and thank you, Matt. Thanks to you guys for listening. The email address for everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Correct.
As always, we'll be back next week because our TV show will have not sold in the room.
On the day.
So we're back to being podcasters while people build kitchens around us. Ciao for now.
Peace.
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.